no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
So today what I want to talk about, I want to jumpstart neighbors. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the suburbs. I was a poor little rich boy. Many of you who know my story know. And I grew up without really having neighbors that were very close to us. We had neighbors on either side, but there was a little bit of yard between us and them. So we rarely, if ever, heard or saw them. And my mother never really went over and engaged with the neighbors, never went over and said hello. If she would saw them, she would give sort of a little perfunctory wave. I noticed that my mom had an interesting and challenging relationship with the neighbors, and ultimately I think that led to me having some interesting challenges. And I want to talk about neighbors today because we are thinking about ourselves being quarantined. We're thinking about ourselves having to be in our homes, and we're thinking about the stress that this is putting on us. What we don't realize is that there is stress simply by having other people in their homes at the same time that we are in our homes, and that feeling of stress that we feel, they feel. One thing we want to remember is that we have neighbors and we are a neighbor. And this isn't just about being a good neighbor. I want to talk about this in relationship to the coronavirus, but I also want to talk about it in relationship to our ongoing living around other people. As I said, my mom always had kind of a strange relationship with the neighbors. She never really talked about to them much. And when she did talk about them, now, even though there was distance between us and them and our houses, my mom would whisper whenever she talked about the neighbors. She would always say, "You know, I saw Mrs. Patterson today." Like she didn't want her to hear it through two walls and across the yard. Because many times what my mom was saying wasn't often necessarily the most complimentary thing to say. So my mother, not close with the neighbors, never friendly. Now I know a lot of people who are, but that was not the way we were raised. My first exposure to neighbors was my first apartment when I was a young man, 22 years old. Broadmoor Apartments, Columbia, South Carolina. And I was working on the weekends as a radio announcer. So I went on the air at midnight, went off the air at 6. When I got off the air at 6, I would want to go to sleep. My neighbors would be out, they were young men as well, drinking until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then they would wake up at about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, which is the time that I was in the middle of the night for me. And these guys would literally stand on the little breezeway between my apartment and theirs and scream as loud as they could. Now, why? They were young men. Young men do all kinds of crazy things, myself included. I have no idea. All I can tell you was they would scream and wake me up. And I went out there one time, and the very first time, and I didn't handle it well. I had no experience dealing with neighbors. So I threw the door open and I just yelled at them. What did that do? That caused them to yell and continue to scream even more and to enjoy it now because they knew they were keeping me awake because they were mad at me. Had I come out nicely in the very first place and asked or explained, "Hey guys, I know you're getting up, but this is the middle of the night for me. Could you hold it down just till I wake up around 2, something like that?" But I didn't handle it very well. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and love your neighbors." And I once heard a comedian joke, the reason Jesus said that was that your enemies and your neighbors tend to be the same people. Most people I know have a story about a neighbor who is a challenge or gets on their nerves. It's interesting when you actually look back and you know, and thank you, Daniel. Daniel pointed out yesterday that I am an amateur entomologist. And yes, that's exactly how I see myself. Because the words that we use are so powerful. And yet in most cases, we have no idea what the word originally means. I mean, you know, it would be like, oh, I don't know, calling your best friend idiot simply because that's what we've always used is the word idiot, never looked up that the word idiot is a terrible thing to say. Which, by the way, that's the worst curse there is in Japanese, is to call someone an idiot. That is the worst thing you can do. Anyway, chasing rabbits there. Let me come back to the point here. And that is that even our word neighbor is an insult. Take that in for a second. The word neighbor in English is an insult. The word nay means nigh. Nigh means close to, you know. Oh, she is nigh. Think about the old movies and everything, you know. The rider is nigh, you know. Near, near. It means near. Near, bore, literally. B-O-O-R. It means to be in close proximity to an ill-mannered, uncultured person. Take that in a second. The word neighbor literally means to be near an ill-mannered, uncultured person. So before you even meet your neighbor, simply by calling them a neighbor, you are saying that you are in close proximity to an ill-mannered, uncultured person. And isn't that how we tend to see our neighbors too often? Now, you may hold it. Wait a minute. I have great relationships with them, my neighbors. And that's good. And we're going to talk about that. If you do, what I'm saying is that a lot of people struggle with that. Why do we do that? It's a normal defensiveness. Neighbors live differently than we do, and in our own desire to live in our own ways. I mean, we walk by and look at our neighbor's trash, don't we? See what they threw out in the trash. See how they're living. It's a way of defending our own way of life, which as human apes, we love to do. And that is that our way is in of itself the best way, because it's our way. And so neighbors are uncultured. They are ill-mannered. They are different than us. So literally, like I said, the word neighbor means ill-mannered, uncultured person. So how can we get along better with our neighbors? And I had a real neighbor challenge a few years ago. I had a woman who, everything that we did, she would report us to the police, report us to the homeowner association. Stuff that we didn't even know we were doing. Stuff we would have been happy, and I would go over and apologize and say, hey, listen, here's my cell phone number. Let me know when there's a problem. I'll take care of it. And she would still report us to the police. And she was looking for stuff, okay? She was looking for stuff. She is the antithesis of what I'm inviting you to be. And that is, for example, where I live right now is very different than where I used to live. And it's taken some getting used to for both me and Teddy. Where I used to live was kind of in a circle of homes on the lake, with the lake being here. So all of our decks were like this. And unless everybody was on their deck, and there were actually trees that had been strategically planted, so you hardly ever saw or heard neighbors, you know? Now I live in a resort in Key Largo, Florida. And every day I have to take Teddy out to go downstairs several times, etc. I'm constantly seeing the neighbors. I'm hearing the neighbors. And not only that, only 10% of us live here full time, less than 10%. The rest of these are rentals with people coming in all the time. So how do you deal with that? And I've actually had to work on that. This is a different experience for me. So first and foremost, I want to give you some tips. Number one, in his book, How to Remain Happy, How to Live in the World and Still Remain Happy, something very similar to that, His Holiness the Dalai Lama wrote about the fact that studies have been shown that people who know and engage with their neighbors are happier than people who live next door to strangers. Let me say that again. The people who know and engage with their neighbors are happier. So first and foremost, it will lead to your being happier if you are engaging with your neighbors. How do you engage with your neighbors? Well, first and foremost, remember that you always want to be warm and give them eye contact. We talked about this before. This is the idea of how to have charisma, P-A-W, power, attention, warmth. Power is you're their neighbor and you have power over them because what you do literally affects them. So power, attention, warmth. You give them attention by looking them in the eye and smiling. It is up to you to move first. If you want to have good relationships with your neighbors, it's your move. And it is your move simply by whenever you're seeing them, whatever is going on, power, attention, warmth, smile, look them in the eye. The second thing is, of course, learn their names and learn their children's names. I have an app, Notepad, that every time I meet one of my neighbors or see one of my neighbors, I make a notation about what I have learned about them that day. I know that sounds silly, and I don't, when I see them, then go back and remember what, you know, look at my notepad. I don't have to. The very act of making the note helps me remember. The other thing I want to share with you is, don't wait until there's a problem. You need to be proactive in your relationship prior and previously. If I have an extra something, I will offer it to my neighbors. My daughter has some great neighbors that if she cooks too much food, she just takes it over to the neighbors. And the neighbors do the same thing. If they cook too much, they bring it over to her as well. The key thing to remember here is that these people on either side of you, and I ended up having to get a restraining order against that woman, cost me thousands of dollars. Had I thought about it, I probably would have just avoided them more often because ultimately she moved anyway. They were not only mistreating us, they were mistreating people in other areas, and I don't want to go into it, but as a result, she lost her business, she lost her home, etc., and she had to move. And I possibly would have just waited that out. The key thing is, do nice things for your neighbors before you need them to be understanding about something you want them to do for you. Find things that you can do. I know my younger brother, who's often with us in the mornings, I don't know if he's here with us this morning, but anyway, one of the things that he used to always do is, he had a very small little yard. His neighbor had a very small little yard. My brother had a lawnmower. Every morning or every week, he would go out and spend 10 minutes cutting his yard. And for an extra 5 to 10 minutes, he cut his neighbor's yard. His neighbor would have done anything for him. Anything for him. So just remember, be proactive, and remember that it is, and we talked about this the other day, go back and look at my Jumpstart titled Respect, where I talked about the propensity for human beings when they are close together to breed contempt. Chaucer was right. Familiarity does breed contempt. So you want to be proactive. You want to smile. You want to understand that your neighbors are also going through what you are going through. Many of them are not working. Many of them are working from home and struggling doing so. They're all feeling isolated. They're all worried about money. They're all worried about their own health and the health of people around them. So their level of stress is already very high, equal to or higher than yours. So cut them some slack. One of the things I noticed the other day at the grocery store, which was weird, okay? I was at the grocery store and I was wearing my mask, my face mask, and I'm looking around and literally everyone is wearing a face mask. So all you're seeing is people's eyes, right? All you're seeing is people's eyes. The hardest part about being at the grocery store with all those people wearing masks, you couldn't tell if anyone was smiling. And so your internal protector, your ego, automatically told you they weren't. Automatically told you they weren't. These people are scowling at you. They're frowning. And it's not my paranoia, or as I should say, not just my paranoia, but it is not me being paranoid. It is not about that. It's about the human mind first looks at people and asks, are they a mate and are they a threat? And hard to tell with the mask, so hard to tell either one, so we presume they are, so it makes it harder. So when you're around your neighbors, if you see them and you're wearing a mask, if they can't see you smile, make sure that you're smiling and tell them so by saying, "Good morning." Put a lilt in your voice, okay? Another little piece of advice, especially during this time. Patty Gay Young says, share with your neighbors and how they are important. Very good. Raleigh Blue Muro says, good morning. Carol says, hey, everyone. Daniel says, good morning. Lisa Bartell goes, oh, my goodness. Carol says, I've been such a neighbor lately. I hope that means good. It's interesting, though, that the word neighbor actually is a very negative word. It means near a boor, in close proximity to an ill-mannered, uncultured person. Hola from Boston, says Jeanette. Jeanette says, smile, that is powerful. Yes, there is. That is what teachers do to build relationships with students, Cynthia says. Leads to a great school year and connectedness. Taking notes, she says. Jeanette says, shared. I have a wonderful neighbor lady. I look forward to inviting her for coffee. We have a slight barrier. We don't speak the same language. I am practicing my German and making this a goal. Well, I can tell you that Michelle Doherty, who is part of our group here, her first language is German. So maybe you guys can work it out to connect and work on your German together. Tammy, that is wonderful. Hello, Jeanette, she says. Carol says, I hate that. No one sees me smile. I know. I think I'm going to draw a smiley face on my mask. Lisa, it is so funny that you said that, because I swear that is exactly something that occurred to me. I want to put a smiley face on my mask so that people know that inside I'm smiling when I'm out with them. So understand, everybody, I need to ring off here, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. I was thinking the same thing. Draw smiles on the masks. There you go. I am actually getting started. I've got the logo designed for our complaint-free meditation group. I have set up the group on Facebook. I am working inside of a program called Kajabi, which is where you'll actually go in and register and sign up. And I am testing that Facebook group and all of our setup so that we can make sure that we are ready to start meditating live together, hopefully in the next few days, maybe as early as Monday. So I hope you'll plan to join me for that. Now is a very good time. And I get it. We've talked about, we did an entire series on meditation recently, and meditation is very difficult. You need an accountability partner, and you need somebody you need somebody to guide you through it. I'm laughing at my buddy Jerome. More eyebrow action in the store. I can totally see Jerome doing that. Jerome's got a really bad case of handsome. If you never met Jerome, he has really got a bad case of handsome. All the women would, you know, when they heard that Jerome was coming to sing in church, man, the pews would be full. So I can imagine it's robbing a lot of women of their enjoyment when Jerome's having to walk around with a mask and just raise his eyebrows. Anyway, everybody, listen, this has been great. I look forward to being with you again at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Join, be sure and share. If you share, you can win a Wilbo and tumbler. And I look forward to seeing you all. So does Teddy. And once I ring off, I'm going to get my producer Miroslav on, and we're going to see what we can do so that everything works better from the get-go tomorrow. All right, everybody, enjoy today. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.